Please rise for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Praising God with a loud voice, he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God, except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've heard the gospel text 3 different ways this morning. And Morgan has preached a marvelous sermon already. There's not a lot left for me to do. But I'm a preacher, so I'm going to give it a stab. I've never much been a numbers person, and I can't keep a string of numbers in my head. And if I do math, I have to double check it, I have to triple check it. But the kind of math we're dealing with here this morning is the kind of math that I can do. And I do like statistics. But simple percentages, I can do that. 10 lepers were healed, 9 went on their merry way, 1 gave thanks. Simple percents. 90% were happy to finally be welcomed into society again, to have permission to go and see and talk to and eat with anyone they want to again. Because most of you know, leprosy was not just a skin disease. It was a social sentence. All the way back to Leviticus, to have leprosy was to be someone put outside, on the outside margins of society. Up until, I think, the 1950s, that still held true, even though they were creating medicines to treat leprosy, to make leprosy not contagious for so long. Skin conditions bothered people in the Old Testament. And that's something that carried through for generations. And so there's these 10 lepers on the way from Galilee to Samaria. And they see Jesus and they recognize Jesus. And certainly the ones that are Samaritan have no reason at all to expect that Jesus would do anything for them. But they know that he's their only chance. And so they call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And all 10 were healed. I think that's the first piece of good news that we have to grab onto in the gospel today. Because we are going to focus on the 9 and the 1 in a little bit here. But first we need to just stop and rejoice. Jesus didn't ask them ahead of time to sign any kind of disclaimer or certificate of gratitude. They asked for help and Jesus gave it. Period. And if you look at the Bible, if you look at the Gospels, wherever Jesus shows up, this is how Jesus operates. Do you remember the feeding of 5,000? Did everybody get enough food? Or just the grateful ones? Everyone had enough and more. Or the wedding of Cana, when Jesus performed that miraculous conversion of water into wine, who received the abundance? Who got to participate in the miracle? Everybody. This is the heart and soul and grounding of our Christian faith, that God's love is so big that it extends to everyone. Everyone. That's why our stewardship theme is not intended to be an exclusive one, but an inclusive one. You belong here. Because in God's kingdom, God invites everyone. God reaches out and extends God's love and compassion and mercy to everyone. Which would have just sounded outrageous to any good religious person walking along the same road Jesus walked along when he saw those 10 lepers at a distance. Jesus, have mercy, cried the lepers. And every single good religious person of that day who would have been on the road nearby would have said, Jesus, run for your life. They're going to make you unclean. Because that's how it worked. You didn't interact with unclean people. You walked away from them. The good news of the gospel is that God never walks away from anyone. 10 out of 10. 100%. Those who call out to the living Christ are met by the living Christ. But one turned back. They were on their way to go see the priest that had already been made clean. And they're, I can only imagine, kind of jumping up and down with joy. You know, what are we going to do first now that we're clean? We can interact with people. We can go see our families. We can eat in public. All those things that they thought they'd never ever be able to do. And so they're on their way. But one turns back. And it's kind of interesting, one of my colleagues pointed out this week, that turn back is the same word for repent. Turning back from the road that we're on to be in the direction of God. Turning back to give thanks. And he was recognized. He was rewarded. He wasn't more healed than the others. But God noticed. God noticed that he stopped and gave thanks. The one thing I want to lift up yet is the 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10 people touched by the healing power of God in this gospel thought it was okay not to give thanks. And that actually makes them part of the status quo, if you think about it. And status quo is how humans very often operate. Well, everybody else is doing it this way, so I'm okay. Do you know the average American church worships about 1 out of 3 of its active members on any given Sunday? That means status quo is actually, even in the church, not worshiping. There was a study a number of years ago that interviewed Christians and interviewed 1,000 Midwestern Christians of all denominations. 34% thought that it mattered at all that Jesus was raised from the dead. That means that a 2/3 majority said that their life and their belief system would not change very much if they found out that Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. What does this have to say about being status quo? If we're like everybody else, or at least like the majority of everybody else's, is that necessarily a good thing? Well, the good news this morning is that we are here. The good news is that this congregation has made a mark for living the minority life, for living like the grateful one. 1 in 10, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000,000, I think. When we come together and serve Jesus because we're grateful, we're not status quo. We're blessed. Feeding the hungry, that's a 1 in 100 kind of faith. Serving our neighbors. Reaching out to people that others won't reach out to. Lifting each other up. Standing up for what's right. Our youth and young adults are 1 in 10, 1 in 100. When they come back after high school and say, I belong here. And I want to serve Jesus because Jesus has been so good to me. When we celebrate Holy Communion, we remind ourselves in the liturgy. We give thanks and praise. It is right to do so. It is our duty to do so. Not because we're going to be more blessed, but because it's right. Because we recognize what God has already done. We are freed. We are healed. Oh, we may still carry our physical maladies, whatever they might be. But we know that in the kingdom of God, we and no other person is ever going to be an outcast. We and in the kingdom of God will never always have our hearts broken or always feel empty or feel lonely because we belong. We are healed. We are made new every day through the love and the mercy of Jesus, whose love is unconditional. And so today, set aside the status quo, as you already have done by being here, and give thanks. We give thanks for each other. Amen.